You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Raise your game, BFM 89.9. Have you been in a confrontational situation? Are you able to handle them or do you find it a challenge? Well, I'm here with Harjit Sidhu from Quantum Achievers International, and we're talking about how to handle workplace confrontations and how to minimize them. Is confrontation a dirty word, Harjit?
Yeah, first of all, very good morning, Frida. Confrontation, yes, to some people it may be a dirty word because they tend to avoid it, but generally it is not. That's my opinion.
Okay, why is that?
Because confrontation, frankly, is necessary because you need to have confrontation in order to solve certain problems that have been bugging a particular individual, whether at workplace or even at home.
Okay, so do we then not use the word confrontation and just say this is our way to communicate, perhaps?
Yes, frankly, if you want to rephrase it that way, that would be better, yeah. That's right.
All right. Yeah. So what do you do before a confrontation?
Okay, the preparatory work that leads to a confrontation is actually, the basic question is whether you need confrontation or not, first of all. So there's two things that is an individual need to ask, which is what and also the if. The what will be the part where what are you trying to address? Whether is it really a problem? So we call this concept unbundling. Because sometimes in the process of confronting a person, an individual or even a group, you are not really aware of what exactly you are trying to address. So that is the what part. The if part, the second part, is it really necessary? Because sometimes silence itself may solve certain problems. Not all the time, but sometimes. So the if part is whether, is it necessary or not?
Okay, I guess the if is, if you, silence would be if I just don't like this person's face, so I don't want to talk.
Yeah, it goes to the concept of confrontation is in between whether you fight or take flight. So fighting here, not necessarily I mean physical fight. It is actually confronting the person, addressing the problem and moving on with the next action plan. Or flight, that means totally avoid it, just live with it, and it might be bugging you over time and time. Therefore, you may need confrontation.
So if I don't like a person, but I don't have to deal with them, it's okay. I don't have to bother.
So that leads to another four questions, okay, that you need to ask yourself. This is actually a diagnostic question to see whether you need confrontation or not. Now, the first question is, you ask yourself, am I acting out my concerns? A lot of people keep inside a lot of dissatisfaction within them, certain individuals at workplace, so they keep it within themselves. And they may not realize that they're actually showing it outside through temper or any other emotions that comes out.
So what happens in the workplace affects the home place as well.
Exactly. Okay. Or vice versa. Secondly, is my conscience nagging me? You may be pretending at workplace that, no, it's okay. You know, I'm a cool guy, that I don't like to approach people. It's okay. But then when you sleep at night, these are the things that bug you at night, that keeps you sweating sometime at night, and you are restless. Then you say, I should have done this, should have done that. Second question.
So if you sleep easy, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, okay.
All right. Third question is, am I choosing the certainty of silence against then the uncertainty of risk of speaking up? We as naturally as human beings, we love certain things, even though it is not a good thing. So certainty is the same motive why a drug addict will keep taking drugs, because he is certain of the outcome. And the other part is the uncertainty of the risk. We are not sure if I confront the person, would it lead to a negative effects or positive. So some people rather, you know, keep silent about it. And the fourth one, am I telling myself that I'm helpless? So these are the diagnostic questions that somebody should ask themselves before seeing the need, whether confrontation is needed or not.
All right. Yeah. So with after you've answered all these questions and you say, yes, there is a need to confront this person,
right,
what do you do during a confrontation?
Okay. To actually confront someone is actually a skill or a particular art. Now, because like I always believe, in Quantum Achievers, communication is the mother of all skills. If you are lacking in that particular area, frankly, if you are talking about the basic of leadership skills or even mastery or motivation or anything, communication is the most important thing. So the most important part is actually the first one, describe the gap. When you're confronting a person, know what you're expecting from the person and what is actually really happening. right? Because when we confront, we need to address this very specifically. Secondly, try not to sandwich things. For example, if I walk in today at workplace and I say, Frida, hey, nice blouse and all that. Hey, by the way, did you take my report from my table yesterday? That's called sandwiching. So the person is not really aware
it's
what
called
exactly.
It's insincerity.
Exactly. And it sometimes hurts another person's feelings also. So do not sandwich. And also start with safety sentences. Make the person comfortable with you. Safety that you are actually willing to work out this particular problem with the person.
What can you say, for example?
You can also say things like, for example, when you start off the conversation, rather than straight away accusing a person, you try to find out the root cause of it. For example, you say, oh, let's say a person is late to office. Rather than straight away confronting the person and start taking action plan to terminate the person or disciplinary action, you start with safety sentence like, wow, the traffic was bad today. I got caught in that too, you know. So you're actually practicing empathy to a certain extent. But you're not agreeing yet that lateness is acceptable.
Mm.
So...
okay, so what happens, let's give you another scenario. Someone at work is not doing a good job, right? Mm-hmm. And you sit down with the person and they say that they've got family problems at home,
right?
And of course, you know, you understand. But if it's affecting work,
right?
At the end of the day, in the office situation, things need to be done.
Exactly.
What do you do then?
Okay. That means we are still in the process of actually what to do during the confrontation. Eh? We will actually sit down with the person. We need to sit down with the person and ask diagnostic questions. Diagnostic questions will be questions like, are you having problem with your financial, or are you having difficulty with coping up with so-and-so and all that? Are you okay at work, workplace or anything like that? So these are diagnostic questions. Rather than, hey, what's wrong with you? Those are not diagnostic. Those are blaming questions.
We're discussing what to do during a confrontation as being to Harjit Sidhu from Quantum Achievers International. Raise your game, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Frida Liu, Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9. I'm speaking to Harjit Sidhu from Quantum Achievers International. Have you ever been in a confrontational situation? How do you handle them? Well, I'm speaking to Harjit, and we're trying to find out what happens during a confrontation. So we were discussing a little earlier some steps to take. Please continue.
Yeah, thank you. The next step in actually the process during confrontation, we need to be aware always that we are going to be acting like a therapist. So therefore, we need to make it motivating for the person, no matter what is being confronted. Next, jointly explore the root cause. For example, rephrase your questioning. For example, what do you think it will take to fix this? So rather than asking the person to work it out alone, so we are actually suggesting something more open-endedly. Staying focused and yet being flexible, right? And like I mentioned earlier, exercise empathy, which is very crucial. A lot of leaders or managers, they fail to exercise empathy. And this leads to a lot of capable individuals with a lot of skills, experience, tend to leave organizations just because they could not get along with their superiors. So confrontation is an art that actually needs to be done very, very tactfully.
And delicately.
Delicately, yes. Exactly.
And
also, for example, it would be good if somebody has been trained in the field of NLP, which refers to a neuro-linguistic programming. It's actually a science where it's an art of persuasion, communication, where you actually take the person to the next level by conditioning certain levels of the mind. So that will be an added plus point in the skill of the person who is confronting, actually.
Okay, yeah. So you've confronted the person and you've discussed a couple of things, and of course, you know, they have sort of come to a solution, and they've, you know, through this discussion, but they don't perform, right?
Yeah.
So in this case where the person says, I will do now, I realize that this has happened and I will take these action steps, but they don't follow through on that. What do you do then?
Okay, that will actually be the process after the confrontation, right? When we actually finish the whole confrontation process, we need to take steps to do after, which is being specific. For example, that means do not be vague about what is expected from the individual. Be as specific as possible. If you need to iron out any action plan, make sure it is as detailed as possible so that the individual knows what is expected. For example, let's say non-performance. Like I mentioned just now, the gap that need to be addressed, which part of the non-performance? Do not talk generally. So the individual knows where to improve. And probably you may not want to ask the person to improve tremendously step by step. At least there is an improvement. What else? Being respectful also. Sometimes we need to have reminders to friendly reminders or respectful audits that we call it. From time to time, check with the individuals and reminding the person, hey, you know, hey, what's happening? I thought you were supposed to come in early. You promised me, you know, at that time and all that. So anything that can help you with it.
Respectful audits.
Yes.
You basically checking out after the person, yeah, but you
exactly,
call it
yes.
Respectful audits.
So we call it audits because people naturally do forget at times what they were confronted with and all that. This let me backtrack a bit because confrontation is actually the last course of action, frankly. There are other tools that can be done in order to turn around people, what we use in our training or workshop by Quantum Achievers is that we use this technique called breaking the pattern. Now, breaking a pattern is actually breaking a cycle because everything we do in life, there's a pattern. Whether we eat, whether we conduct a meeting, the way we walk, the way we do things and all that, there's a pattern. Now, if you continue the pattern, it becomes habit. And you continue the habit over a long run, it goes to become part of your character, your personality. Once it becomes your character, that's difficult to break. So we want to break a particular pattern where it is still a pattern yet. So if a person is actually a late, habitual latecomer, a non-performer and all that, we still can break that pattern yet.
That's if the person wants to.
Even if the person doesn't want to, even the superior is looking for that. So breaking the pattern can be done even without the subject being aware of it.
Oh.
Yes.
Can you share a little bit how that works, or does it really require some sort of...
No problem. Very quickly, for example, breaking the pattern... Okay, first of all, I need to explain about what is breaking the pattern. Now, whenever somebody is doing something, they expect a certain reaction from somebody, right? Let's say I'm rude to you, Frida.
I just smack you.
Yeah. Hope you don't die today. If I'm rude to you, frankly, bottom line, I am aware actually I'm rude to you. A lot of people give excuses that, oh, they were not aware, you know, their temper raising and all that. For a few seconds or the first few minutes, that's true. But the later part, in the long run, actually everybody knows that they are rude, they are probably displeasant or anything. Now, when I'm rude to you, I don't expect you to be friendly with me, right? And I know you will not like me, right? That is one expectation, isn't it? Now, for you, in order to turn me around, we call this turning around, you need to break my expectation. So that means rather than shying away from me or being hatred towards me and all that,
I'll be extra nice to you.
Probably, yes.
I think it's from that one of the expressions, you know, like you give me one, you slap me one side of the cheek, I'll give you the other side of the cheek.
Hopefully not physically, right? So that is one example. It has worked for many individuals where they actually managed to turn around their superiors. For example, even some superiors, they victimize some of the subordinates. You know, favoritism happens at workplace all the while. So there was this particular individual who spoke to me during one of our workshops. She said, my superior doesn't take me out during her lunches and all that. So I said, do you realize that your superior is not expecting you to like her? So she said, yeah, I guess so. So I want you to reverse the expectation, right? So be nice to her, but in a way that shock her system. So we are reformatting the hard disk.
Okay.
So I told her to find out probably when is the birthday of that particular superior. Just probably buy a birthday card, put it on the table, and probably put a flower, something like that. And don't forget to mention it is from you. So what we are doing is the superior probably may not expect this subordinate to be nice to her because the superior knows that she has been nasty or victimizing her. Now, when you place a card, psychologically, your brain starts wondering, wow, I was nasty towards this person and now this person is giving me a card. Now, that is breaking the pattern of thoughts, right? So that, it may not happen immediately, but gradually there will be some changes in the attitude of certain individual.
Do you know in this case how long it took before the you know, it made a difference?
It was about a month, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, a month?
Yeah. Gradual okay. process. It started up within a month, and then after about 6 months, it was because we only need to take the first step, break the pattern, and after that, building a rapport with the person and then being close to the person, that is left to the individual. So after 6 months or so, the person was actually quite close to the superior.
All right.
They were working close together.
And I guess this applies again, you know, just outside the work situation.
Yes, yes.
And it's basically the end of the day, also eating humble pie.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
And there is a process to do it. Break
yes.
the pattern. Any final words around this?
So, bear in mind that confrontation is actually the last resort of course of action that you can do. Before that, there's various tools, but we need to know what exactly are these tools, because these tools are available. Only thing, certain people who have the knowledge of these tools, they keep it in the
lock,
hiding in the lock and key, because everybody will not want to reveal. What is their secrets? Or it's like buying a book. When you buy a book, do not buy a book that tells you what to do. Buy a book that tells you how to do. If you ask a person, do you know that you're supposed to be motivated? Yes, everybody knows that. But how do you actually be motivated? That
okay.
is the key. So confrontation is actually knowing how to do it effectively, and hopefully it brings results.
We've been talking about how to handle workplace confrontations. I'm speaking to Harjit Sidhu from Quantum Achievers International. Raise your game on BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.